The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
What's up, everybody, and thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the QB Factory Reboot brought to you by SB Nation and Bleeding Green Nation. We are recording on Wednesday, August 3rd, to be exact, and I'm your host, Rachel Prevett, as always joined by the one and only QB expert, my co-host, Mark Schofield. And as you can see, we have another special guest joining us today as we begin to talk about training camp and what's going on. He's actually been covering everything, so we get to see from his perspective how things are going physically there. And so his name is Chris Franklin, and he is the Philadelphia Eagles beat writer for NJ.com. So thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me on. I appreciate this. It's middle of training camp. It's time football's back, so I'm looking forward to this. And thank you guys for having me on.
Well, Chris, we're excited to have you here. We got a ton of stuff to dive into. So we can kick it off sort of this way. Pads have gone on now around the league, and teams have put the pads on. We're starting to get contact. How has the energy level been at practice? Who has stood out to you now that the pads are on? And has anybody sort of stepped forward? Because sometimes you see guys when the pads are off, they're playing well, but then sort of separate when the pads go on. So have you seen something like that as well?
Well, I think overall, I'll start with the energy. The energy overall has been pretty decent. You know, especially with the Eagles, they don't do a lot of physical stuff when it comes to the hitting or the tackling on the ground and stuff like that. But when you look at what they're doing, and the practices are shorter too, compared to some of the other ones. So when you look at, take that into account, they're making the most of the time that they have while not being as physical as they could be when it comes to that. So you'll see the time between different reps are happening. I mean, Nick Sirianni said he's even has an incentive right now that he's given to Jalen Hurts and Gardner Minshew. We don't know what it is. I would love to know what it is, but excuse me. They're trying to give him his incentive so that if practice ends shorter than what they actually want to do, they get something. Maybe green stuff, I don't know, but stuff like that is pretty interesting to see. So I think overall the energy is pretty good when it comes to that. And then overall, when the guys come, standout guys, I mean, one guy, linebacker Davion Taylor, I've been really impressed by the way he's played overall. I mean, the kid came out Colorado, still pretty new to the football, and he's been studying, he's been physical, but he's also had a lot of injuries. He tore his MCL last year, we found out yesterday. And to see him come back on the field, flying around, making plays, he seems like he's around the ball a lot. So he's one guy I've been really impressed with, and I'm encouraged to see what he's able to continue to do through training camp, especially with the pads being on. He looked good yesterday, too.
We all know that the Eagles did a phenomenal job this offseason, especially addressing the defensive side of the ball. And one of those draft picks who everybody is so excited to see is Jordan Davis. So what has he been looking like so far?
They had a one-on-one session where it's just offensive line versus defensive line, and he powered through. The only person that stopped him was the second-round pick, Cam Jurgens. This man, 6'6", like being 340, and to use his strength. I mean, the guy is strong, and he's quick, too. He's looked pretty good. He got some first-team reps. Mainly Fletcher Cox is recovering from COVID himself, but also he got his chance to shine, and he's in the backfield a lot. He got a tackle for loss. And I'm curious about the way they use him, especially, too, because – when he was at Georgia, one thing that I thought benefited as well, too, especially on the first, second down, they used him in that tilt position where he sort of go line up on the shoulder of the center. And if I'm an opposing center, I look at a guy who is a lot bigger than most defensive tackles, who's as quick as he is, and he's coming on my snap side, and he's probably got like a half-second head start on me, you're going to have to double-team him. And then if you do that, that's going to have a domino effect down the line. So his presence, if he continues to grow, I think his presence can open up things for Javon Hargrave, Hassan Reddick coming off the edge, Derek Barnett, Brandon Graham. That whole defensive line can be a domino effect, and they can, and they need it, especially who finished with 29 sacks last year, was next to last in the league. They need a shot in the arm when it comes to that pass rush. I think he can help them with that.
Chris, another area that Eagles fans were hoping for a shot in the arm was on the second level of the defense. And then you add in Nakobe Dean, who they drafted in the third round, who a lot of people thought might have been a steal in the third. How has he looked? And did the Eagles, in your mind, get that steal in the third round with Dean falling to them where he did?
He's been pretty decent. You know, he's still he was learning the middle linebacker spot. It makes sense because, you know, when he's Georgia, this is where he played mostly. So he learned that one. And it looks like they're going to try to move him on the weak side as well, too. And he hasn't consistently flashed. He's still getting a sense of that. But you see the speed. You see the anticipation. You see the athleticism there. And I'm starting to think he's really starting to put it together a lot. And when you have a guy like Dean who has that the intangibles and the instincts of that, if you couple him with like a TJ Edwards, you couple him with Taylor, when you couple him with and just the different things, the looks they can throw at you. Jonathan Gannon likes to use that Vic Fangio 4-3 under look where you mix out. You have him on the outside because you know he's a good pass rusher, which I want to see him develop that a little bit more at the NFL level. If he can get a good pass rush move and continue that coverage aspect, now you have two linebackers. You really have to game plan. You can't really just say, okay, we're going to shift to Reddick because we don't know if Dean's coming. You got to really take that into account. So he still has a little work to do, but overall it's been pretty positive.
Staying with the defense, what has been your impression of James Bradberry?
I've been pleasantly surprised, and maybe I had the image of and the image of the first mini camp practice he had where he was like he was still learning the system and got beat a couple of times deep, and I was like, I know it was a salary cap thing with the Giants leaving him, let him go, but I was like, maybe there's something to it. But then you see he's gotten more comfortable within the system, and he's looked pretty good. He's been one of the better defenders in camp. I mean, he's gotten some good pass breakups on Devonta Smith. He's worked against AJ Brown as well too. I mean, that one-on-one. And I go back to the one-on-ones when it came to receivers and cornerbacks. He had a couple of good, nice pass breakups as well, too. And you see that instinct. You see that in the instincts he brings, that veteran instinct. I love the fact that he loves to bait the quarterback. I love he plays the little cat and mouse game very, very well. And you're starting to see that when it comes to some in the coverage when it goes against the first team offense. And hey, look, you add him with Darius Slay and Avante Maddox. And I know Steven Nelson did a decent job last year, but I think Bradberry's even that next level. And I think he can get – I think that covered that secondary now is a lot better than what it was the last couple of years. So that Bradberry signing overall is looking to be pretty good.
Chris, you brought up A.J. Brown, and we can sort of shift to the offensive side of the ball. Our mutual friend Mike Kay talked about him earlier this week, saying he's like the prototypical X receiver, and I think that's sort of exactly right. How has he fit in with this offense? And similar to the domino effect you talked about with Jordan Davis, do you think there will be a similar one for the offense where, you know, Brown's sort of at the X, Smith can then sort of play off ball, and it's going to help really this entire passing game with him in the lineup?
I really think so, because the one thing I thought this receiving core lacked was that big, powerful, physical guy. Devonta Smith, he can line up at the X and use his skill to get off the ball and create some separation. But now you have a bigger target, a bigger guy with A.J. Brown, and he can play, for lack of a better word, he can play bully ball if you want to. If you want to get a corner to come up with you and press, he can just use his physical aspects, push him off a little bit within the 5 yards, and turn his big target right in the middle of the thing and present himself and give him a good target for Hurts. And I think overall, when you look at what he's able to do, when it comes to either short and especially that intermediate pass game where I think this offense could really excel and needs to do better year over year, I think he brings that. If you put him on a slant, if you put him on that hook, you put him on or anything across the line, like running the mesh concepts. When you have that in the middle field, get him on against a linebacker or a safety, even formationally. And I want to really want to see what Sirianni does to scheme him to be open. Do you see more ones where he's by himself and then you have like two or three other receivers on the outside and just gets in coverage? I think you can really, to me, that's easy yards you can pick up and can sustain things in. Overall, he's going to take away a couple double teams against Devonta Smith. He's going to take away double teams against Dallas Goedert. And I think also now it's going to help the run game. It's hard to believe, especially with them leading the rushing things. You have to keep both safeties back when, because now you have Devonta Smith and A.J. Brown. You don't know if they're going deep. So now that benefits Miles Sanders, potentially getting more than 5.5 yards per carry. So overall, it's just a domino effect across the whole entire offense.
When I've been looking at some of like the training camp notes from beat reporters covering the Eagles as well, I haven't been seeing too much about DeVonta Smith. Has he been quiet from your perspective in training camp so far?
Oh, he's been still good. he's still performing. It's almost like you get that shiny new toy. Yeah, okay. It's like, oh, it's cool. Meanwhile, you're like, oh, yeah, we have the same thing. All right, cool. But no, yeah. You see little develop. And the one thing that I like that he's done is he's really started to take Keaton, take A.J. Brown's big brother. He's really listened to what he's saying. You can see some of the little nuances that A.J. Brown does. He's starting to incorporate into his when it starts to sizing up the cornerbacks even more and little nuances when it comes to his footwork and getting out the routes. And he's making some good. I want that. It's going to be tough because there's only one ball around. You have, and they can really, you can see like easily 100 targets for both guys. Like if you put them on another offense, they're the number one receiver in my opinion, right. Especially a lot of them. So mm-hmm. you have two of them and then you have to be tight end. It's tough to see who's going to get that target share. But I think overall, when you look at what Smith's done to this point, mm-hmm. he's been good. Yeah, I think he's been good overall, and he made a couple of nice, especially on those little like fade routes as well too. So this offense can be dynamic, but it's going to all start quarterback.
Yeah, and we're going to get to Jalen in a minute. This is the QB factory after all. But Chris, with the pads on, we get a better feel for the guys up front. How has the offensive line looked? Because I think in all the discussion about Kurtz and the weapons, the offensive line and their importance, I think, has kind of been undersold a bit. How have they looked?
The one thing I was really looking at, especially when you have so many guys, that new continuity in for so long and Brandon Brooks going around, I was really worried about the right guard spot with Isaac Seumalo. And thus far, with him coming back off a Lisfranc injury, with him switching from the left to the right side, which is it's a lot harder than I think a lot of people right. can appreciate, he's held his own. And I also was worried about the chemistry he and Lane Johnson were going to build because you're so used to working with somebody on one side. Now you got to build that up quickly. They've held their own. And then you have Landon Dickerson. Ooh, I just mixed them up. Landon Dickerson along with Jordan Mailata on that side. It's been all right. Kelsey's been in and out a little bit because he started camp with the recovering COVID, but it's also allowed Cam Jurgens to get more reps as well too in the middle. And he's looked decent. He still needs to pick up a little bit when it comes to pointing out the protections, and he's admitted it as well too. When we've talked to him, pointing out, okay, oh, this is this look. He's trying to get more used to it. But when you look at, he's making some, I'd rather see him make some physical mistakes more than mental mistakes. And he's held up on the physical side of that. It's just taking everything all together. But this offensive line, as long as Jeff Stoutland's around here in Philadelphia, I think this offensive line is going to be easily top three every year.
One of the biggest storylines that we've been seeing is that Kenny Gainwell has been running, getting reps with the first team, and Miles Sanders on the opposite side has been, you know, getting those reps with the twos. And so is this something that we need to be looking into? Like, should we be starting to overreact?
I don't think necessarily not so much right now. I think just like what you have with DeVonta Smith and A.J. Brown, I think it started to turn more into a 1A, 1B. I think especially in training camp, it seems like there's more passing and more focus, especially when he begins with no pads, you might as well see what you can do with the passing attack. So I wonder if they're trying to use a little bit more with Gainwell and see what aspects can he try with that. But I will say this, compared to what he first came in last year and even through the middle of last season to what he's doing now, he actually looks a little bit quicker. He looks a little bit thicker too. And I think especially last year, you see this guy's like, he's a little shorter size in stature as a running back, but he was one of the leaders when it came to red zone touchdowns. She's like, huh? How's that possible? Is this just because nobody can see him behind that line? But he looks overall. But one thing I really like about him is that when he may run in that zone concept, he just goes, stretches it out, plants one foot, and just goes up instead of dancing around a little bit. I think Miles Sanders is still going to be a starter. There's no thing, but I think you need to get more reps with Kenny Gainwell because if the Eagles decide they don't want to pay him, and then Gainwell, you still have Gainwell, you might as well get him Marakaman and just move him up to number one when if Sanders decides to leave.
Let's get to the reason we're here, Chris, and that's the quarterback position. This is a show titled The QB Factory. We've got to talk Jalen Hurts. Obviously, and you even alluded to it, right? All the additions they made on both sides of the ball, there's tons of excitement about this Eagles team, but it might come down to Hurts. How has he looked so far? And do you think he can take that step forward that everybody has been sort of clamoring for?
I think so far this camp, he's been pretty good. I mean, there's been days where you look and you're like, wow, this guy's looking really good. Like, he could be the starter. There's days where he makes a decision or two. You're like, what's he doing there? To give you one example, the one thing I really want to see him do better this year is stay in the pocket, maneuver in there, and get more time. And he's done that. Because especially when you have an offensive line, he had the most time behind that offensive line in the pocket more than anything. I think it was like 2.7 seconds, which doesn't sound a lot, but in the NFL, it's like, oh, okay, yeah, it's like a lifetime. He had that, and he didn't take advantage of it all the time. I think that injury, when he had the ankle injury, he was forced to, and then you saw he got better at it. So on one of the plays, they actually sent a blitz on him. He stood up in the pocket. He looked comfortable in there, stepped up, and he threw a good strike to Devonta Smith. And you're like, wow, you see the progression. Then another practice you see where he loses the pocket, breaks down. He runs on the outside. He has Kenny Gainwell on out as an outlet, and then he threw across the middle and was picked off. So you see things. I know guys like to try different things and see if they can do it in certain situations, especially in training camp. But you see that, especially with this offense, you have to take what is given to you. Like, you have to take the outlets, because these guys can – all these pieces, they are really good at yards after the catch. They can make big plays and continue these drives. So overall, he's looked decent. There's still some things he needs to improve. I like that his throwing motion, he worked out in Southern California at Tom House. I like that his release looks more compact. His footwork looks a lot better when he first came in. You see him moving around, it looks a lot better. And I think the more he needs more reps, I think, especially too, the anticipation. I like his timing routes that he's developed with A.J. Brown. I think that's been really good too. I mean, it kind of helps when your best friends on your team, and then you got the other guy you play college with, not that, but the timing is down. So I think it's been more positive than negatives. And I think this season he can take a leap. I truly do. But he has to take he has to utilize the check downs a little bit more, because I think that'll give more opportunities for his offense to thrive.
Something else you touched on, Chris, when you were talking about A.J. Brown, was the throws, say, in the intermediate area of the field, sometimes between the numbers, between the hashes. That's been kind of inconsistent from Hurts. Do you think Brown's presence and their chemistry will help them fill out that portion of the field, help them attack that area of the defense?
I think so, too. I mean, you have a big target right there, a big target, and especially in when you have him going in there, especially if teams wanting to play a lot more zone, knowing that Hurts is a lot more as athletic and they want to get those eyes looking towards him, you're going to have to pick apart and work in that middle of the field. And usually you're going to have a linebacker or safety in those areas. You want to see the cover three looks or underneath, or a cover like a Tampa two, especially when you have a middle linebacker, you have to take advantage of those. And when you have the catch radius and you have that size that A.J. Brown has in there, I think that's going to help him out a lot when it comes to that. And the other thing is going to be, I think you'll see a lot more bunch. I think if they run more bunch as well too, I think that will help him out, because you get the breakouts and then he'll just sitting around in the middle. So the timing aspect is going to be important with that. And I think that it comes with the anticipation and the experience that he's going to need. So Brown's going to help with that. It's a matter of if Hurts can continue to develop in order to take advantage of it.
I think we can all agree that this is going to be a year that Hurst is under a lot of pressure, because he's trying to prove himself. If he can't develop into that franchise quarterback for the Eagles, where do they go from there?
I mean, with two first-round draft picks, they have the ability to maneuver. Like Howie Rose was really good at moving up and down the draft board. I mean, we saw when they were able to select Wentz. Now, looking back at what Wentz has become, you know, it's like, you know, what's going on? But he did have those for early on Wentz. You're like, all right, cool, it looked good. But I think they would go young, and then especially with him having one more year left on his contract, let him get one more chance. I mean, it could be something like, I'm not calling him Aaron Rodgers, but it could be something like where you have Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love, something similar to that. And if Hurts takes off in year four, then you still have a good backup to develop and then trade away if you want to, or so have you. Or if Hurts decides to go, if it doesn't play up well or he's still middling, then you can go go with whoever you draft. I mean, I wouldn't put out a veteran guide as well too, especially if you dangle those two first round picks. Depends who comes available. I mean, we know it's not Russ because he's in Denver, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, right. You're going to hear some disgruntled quarterback pop up out of nowhere. So that's another option to do. So I really think they would go the young route and then try to develop that guy, something that fits what Nick Sirianni is looking to do. But it's going to be, it's one extreme or another. I think it's going to be either he plays so bad or he doesn't show development and they get that young guy, or he's getting the extension because he's playing so well. That middle ground, I think it's just getting smaller and smaller. I think it's going to be one or the other.
Since this is the QB factor where we talk all quarterbacks, not just the starter. And so do we have a battle at all for QB2, or is this Gardner Minshew's job and they're sort of looking at Carson Strong as like a medical redshirt year to see what they have next year? Maybe potentially he's the young guy they look at in a worst case scenario.
I thought Gardner Minshew would be like the dangled trade piece because he'd play well enough and somebody got an injury and they coming that one.
Right.
He hasn't had the sharpest camp at all. I mean, he's really thrown a couple of questionable interceptions. You see, it's almost like you can start a Twitter account pretty much. Did Gardner Minshew throw an interception today? It'd be yes, yes, yes. You're starting to get to that point where you're looking like, wow, what's going on here? But hey, maybe it's another thing, like just like I say with Hurts, maybe it's a thing where he's trying to work on some stuff. But I think right now, Strong, he's had his own struggles. He admitted that a couple of days ago, that was his first 11-on-11 reps. And he was like, he's trying to get his timing down. He's trying to get used to the NFL speed. The guy I've been surprised with, I thought it was going to be a battle for the QB3 between Sinet and Strong, especially too. Reed Sinet actually looked pretty decent. He's not going to be at the level where he's going to take Minshew's job. I think it's a big divide still on that one. But I think he's played well enough that that's his job to keep. And the question becomes, Strong, you know the physical tools that Strong has, especially with that arm.
Right.
If you release him, somebody going to that. That's why I think I'm really looking at that first cuts, because what the Eagles did last year, they released a lot of those guys they wanted to keep. They put them in those first cuts and they signed them that way. If he's among those first cuts to try to stop another team, then we know that. If he's along the last one, I wonder if somebody's going to try to pick him up, even though they gave him a lot of money as a undrafted free agent. But yeah, who would have thought you'd say like Reese Sinet would have better quote unquote like practice training camp snaps than Minshew? Yeah.
What would you say are the expectations for Jalen Hurts for the remainder of training camp?
I think the main thing is going to be consistency. And with him, it's a lot of boom or bust with it. It seems like here and there. I think as long as he consistently shows that he continues the accuracy, they've been practicing a lot of short and intermediate stuff. They haven't really tried to go over the top only a couple of times. But if he continues to show consistency in his accuracy, if he continues to, I think he's got this offense down very well, which especially the second year. I mean, he's even mentioned that this is the first time since he was in high school, he's been in the same offensive system. So it's crazy on that one. But I think overall, if he can remain consistent, shows that he can throw those short yards, those intermediate routes, continues to get that timing and continue to stack those days up, I think everybody will feel better. Now, if he starts to have pretty much the same thing where it's always fluctuating or it starts working backwards, then I think that's where everybody's going to go, all right, we had them going out to a quick start. Is it really going to be – is this team going to be really as good as that with you? But I think it'll work out in the end.
All right, Chris, biggest question of the show. Rachel and I are dying to know this. Did you see Top Gun Maverick, and what did you think? And if you haven't seen it, are you going to go fix that right now?
I have not seen it. In fact, I haven't seen the original Top Gun in about 10 years.
Oh, my God. No. That's the reaction we want to see. That's the reaction.
Chris, you're killing us.
Yes, come on.
To take the words of a former Eagles coach, I got to do a better job with my Top Gun and put myself in a position to sit in the seat and watch it. We're going to make sure we do that. And, so I'll have a ham sandwich afterwards. Yeah, I don't know. It's still waiting for a I still have to watch it. There's so many movies on my list. I mean, we thought our friend Mike, hey, I still haven't watched Tombstone. And I'm getting that still for that one too. I still haven't watched that.
I'm gonna go get the DVD and mail it to you by the end of the day on Tombstone. And I'm gonna so DM Mike right now.
You know, I'm trying. Yeah, I haven't seen that. I'm still working on the lead. I'm still working on a bunch of other stuff. I'm rewatching. I still got to finish some of the Marvel stuff. Like yeah. I haven't finished Captain's Winter of Falcon and Winter Soldier. I haven't finished that. I still haven't watched Loki. I'm so far behind on all my other stuff. It's
Chris. Isn't the problem that just there's too much good stuff out there? You can't find time to see it all.
There's that. There's the, wow, Chris, you need to get out more and stop looking at video YouTubes of what a cover three can do against the cover one and all that stuff.
Right.
I need to I swear, there's a life inside of here. I gotta get in touch with it and find it again. It's tough.
I will bring my copy of Tombstone to Indy for the combine. I will give it to you when we are out there. By the way, Chris, what was your favorite Indy restaurant? Was it Roos Chris when we had dinner, or was
that
it
was
else?
That whole entire, that was my first time meeting all you guys. That was the funniest. That was the funniest get together I've been in a while. That's good. I mean, Prime 47 is really cool just because you see, it's like, I thought I was like hanging out late, like, all right, 2 or 2, 3 a.m. Like, all right, cool. Yeah, I'm calling it night. Meanwhile, I see a van coming up and people going out, all right, cool. We're ready to party. Like, what are you guys doing? Like,
it's 4 in the morning.
We got to get on. Like, all right. Nah, I'm tapping out. I'm going out with you. But nah, yeah. that Roos Chris night was just top five. It was sports writers night. It was that much fun.
I've
been telling Rachel, she's going to get to the combine next year.
You have to. That last year was my first one. It was eye-opening. One, two, it was so much fun. And three, being a football junkie is so good. It's almost like when I was like, oh, it's just Cliff Kingsbury walking down the street. Wait, what? Okay. Yeah. Like, let me run this way too. It's the perfectly, everything's within walking distance. I'm glad it's back in Indy, but
yeah.
Oh, and that Roos Chris night was
fun. Well, we'll do Roos Chris again next combine. We'll get Rachel to dinner with us.
Yes, have to.
But thank you so much, Chris, for taking the time to chat with us. Like, we really, really appreciate it. We know the listeners are going to love this episode. For all you lovely listeners out there, don't forget to rate, don't forget to leave a review, subscribe to our YouTube channel, all that good stuff. And before we leave, Chris, do you have any plugs that you want to leave? Where can everybody find your work, find you on social media?
Sure. Thanks. Appreciate it. Thank you guys very much for inviting me. It's a lot of fun today. You can find work on nj.com/Eagles. You can follow me on Twitter, C Franklin News, same with Instagram as well too, posting some videos from what's going on at Eagles training camp and try to keep you guys as best informed as I can. But thank you guys, appreciate it.
Thank you, Chris, man. Appreciate it.